The Bible reading this morning will sound very familiar to many of you. It's from John 5, 1 to 15, and it can be found on the bulletin today, if you'd like to follow along. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learnt that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well.
Thank you, Sue. I must assure you that the pastor does know that I'm going back and revisiting this passage today. And as I think he was okay with it. Actually, I'm sure he was okay with it. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father and our God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the reminder of this tremendous moment in this man's life. We thank you as we have seen your grace at work and faith in this man's life. And we pray that as we would ponder again the truths of this passage, that you might minister to each one of us. Father, we pray that our hearts might indeed be open to be able to see and hear and to understand what you would say to us and to us only. Continue with us, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Last week, the pastor reminded us of quite a few things, and just two that I wanted to focus on this morning was the fact that there are many unanswered questions in the world, in our life, in the scriptures, and that's okay. It's okay to have unanswered questions. If we knew all the answers, we would be somewhere on an equal par with God in respect to knowledge. But that thought is well beyond considering, even for but a moment. The Lord chose and he leads us to the answers that we need to know. It's on a need to know basis that you get answers. And he answers by his Holy Spirit, usually through his word. And that is faith at work. Faith at work. The wonderful aspect of this whole story shows us again the grace of God that is directed towards individuals. Individuals that do not deserve the grace of God. Individuals that do not, that cannot work or earn the grace of God or the forgiveness of God. The grace of God is a gift that he gives when and where he wishes to. So as we further consider this passage, may each of us be able to see just what we personally need to do as we, what does it say? Pick up your mat and walk. Pick up your mat and walk. Physically, none of us are in the place where this man was when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. It's true that some of us will, from time to time and then eventually permanently, we will walk with a limp, or we will walk with a walking stick, or we'll use a walker, or we'll be confined to a wheelchair. But none of us are in the position this guy was. This man was completely helpless. Completely and utterly helpless. He did not have anyone even to help him get into the pool. He was a man without hope. And it's like as if this guy was chained to his mat. He never went anywhere without his mat. And he was completely without hope. This man is a picture of you and me when we were born into this world. When we entered with our sinful nature, and it remains a picture of us until we come to Christ. We are in that same state until we come to Christ. We cannot help ourselves. We have no hope. We have no strength to break the chains of sin that bind us up. We are powerless to beat the human nature, the sinful human nature that we've brought into this world. We have no real lasting peace or joy. We are lost. We are dead in our sins and condemned to a Christless eternity. You know, we become so wrapped up, we become so wrapped up with our own way of thinking, with our life evolving around the I, the me, and the mine, so that everything I do and think and say is led by the fact that it's what I want to do. And I will do according to what I think. This is part of living under the natural sinful nature that we have. Just as the Lord Jesus asked this man, do you want to be made whole? The Lord Jesus speaks to us today and he says the very same question. Do you want to be made whole? It is a question that has to be answered by faith. Excuse me. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who will diligently seek for him. With this man, all the Lord had to do was to speak the word, and the miracle happened. It reminded me of Genesis chapter 1, where the Lord said, let there be light. And whammo, we have light. Then he said, let there be the firmament, and let there be these herb-growing plants and all the other parts of creation. God, by simply speaking this into being, created something out of nothing by his word. Now, that's a popular concept, isn't it? Oh, I don't think so. But here with this man, there was no discussion. When Jesus said, do you want to be healed? He said, well, how can I be? There's nobody here to help me in. And then Jesus said to him, stand up, take your mat, and walk. There was no discussion about there was no mini miracle offered to show what the Lord Jesus could do. You remember the time when Moses and Aaron went up to Pharaoh, and Aaron threw his staff down and it turned into a snake, and the wise men from Egypt did the same thing with their snakes, I mean their staffs, and Aaron's snake from the staff ate up all their snakes. Now this was a massive outpouring of power, an illustration of what God can do. And as God dealt with Pharaoh in the weeks to followed, he was showing Pharaoh that the God of the Israelites was the all-powerful God. And it was a great show of power. But here, there's no great show of power. There's simply the word. The same is true of the lepers in Luke 17, where the Lord said, be healed, go to the priest and show yourself to him. Now they knew as lepers, they couldn't go and show themselves. But he said, go. And as they walked, the scriptures tell us that they were cleansed of their leprosy. In response to the word of God, they were healed. It was the same thing with the man who had the withered hand, we remember, and the Lord told him to stretch it forthwith or whatever. And he did, and he was healed. Not because he saw some outpouring of magical power, but he took the word of Christ and acted upon it. Didn't understand how in the world this was going to happen. You wouldn't guess how many times he would have tried. It's a simple matter of looking to the Lord and attempting to stretch out his arm, and he was healed. It was the act of obedience that brought the blessing. The act of obedience brought the blessing. Obedience proved his faith, and a great miracle flowed on from it. Obedience proves faith and is followed by a miracle. Do you need to know the Lord as your Savior today? Do you need to be forgiven and cleansed and united to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you need to be in a place where you walk with him day by day and have fellowship and communion with him? Do you need him to be your Saviour today? In Matthew 11:28, the Lord Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He is the one that gives the rest. He is the one that makes it work. Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." And in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it speaks of the time for all these things to happen. And it says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And that day is the day when the word of God is shared with people. And these people we've looked at, that day was the day when they heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That day is the day when we hear what God says in his word. The mat, to me, is a picture of the old sinful life. It is a picture of the old sinful life. The mat represents death. Well, when you receive Christ, you receive new life, and the old is gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed, and the new has, and all things have become new." I could nearly get a hallelujah for that. Couldn't I? Yeah, I didn't. No. Okay, that'll do fine. I'll just check it. So, do you need the Lord? Today is the day to acknowledge that need. The day to humble yourself and confess him to be the Lord in your life. You need the Lord? Do not wait until you get some display of his almighty power. You've already missed most of that. Do not wait for a display of his almighty power. You can even say to him, "I believe, but help my unbelief." There's not too many prayers he likes to hear above that one. Just as the Lord Jesus was the only one who could help this man, he also is the only one who can help and meet our needs. So today, you're sitting there and you're saying, "Yeah, I know all that. Yeah, I know all that. I know Christ as my personal Saviour. I know I've been forgiven. I've been cleansed. My name's written down the Lamb's Book of Life. And as time progresses, I'm just looking forward to the time when I will be with him forever." Aren't you fortunate that you can stop and just think about all that? You know, many of you may have had the fortune to have been brought up in a Christian home or a Christian family where church and faith and the Bible played a very big part in your life. If you had that, you're very fortunate. Because some of us didn't. But it is in contrast today But there are more and more people who stand up publicly and will state that they do not believe the Bible to be true. There are people you hear today who will stand up and say, they've had their time, these religious people. It's time for our society to move on. Move on away from the Bible. We recently had a prominent football player who answered a set-up question with scripture. You would have no doubt come across that. He has since admitted that he could have perhaps answered that question a bit better, but it wouldn't have mattered, or he would have still been slandered from coast to coast. There would have still been people in high places who were calling for his sacking from this game. There would be sponsors who would be backtracking as fast as they could. The Lord Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." He did not say the truth will agree with you. Well, that's not the way it works in so many situations. The truth sets you free. This guy had been set free by the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, and so he has that within him to stand up and to tell it like it is. Today we see a steady trend away from believing the Bible to be true or even important. So much of this has snowballed since the amendment to the Marriage Act and will continue to do so while our government is yet to determine what laws and codes of conduct will be written down. You talk about giving somebody a blank check. That's what we did back then. But even while they consider what the law will be, there are many sporting codes, there are many iconic companies, and Qantas is one that comes to mind very obviously. There is the media and there is the entertainment world. They are making it very clear today where they want to draw the line. And in their mind, it is already law. The Word of God is the truth. It was, it is, and it always will be, because it's the Word of God. But what about us today? What if the Lord was to say to us today, pick up your mat and walk? What would that mat look like? And more important, in what way does that mat affect your walk? What is it that affects your walk for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the man in the story, he had no walk. I personally don't do run anymore, neither skips, hop, or jumps. But I can walk. But this guy had no walk. He was chained to his mat by his condition. And so the unbeliever is chained to his mat by his lost condition and therefore cannot walk with the Lord, even though we sometimes try to do the right thing. But while we're chained to the mat of our lost condition, we cannot walk at one with the Lord. So what could the chain be that affects our walk with the Lord, so that we would so that the Lord would say to us, pick up your mat, that one that's affecting your walk, and get rid of it. Pick up your mat, get rid of it, and get back to walking with me. What does a mat look like? Could it be unbelief in my life? Could it be that I have trouble believing the word of God to be true? Could it be the inactivity that is within my life today? Having said that, I unfortunately know and see that my physical activity is on a steady downhill decline, and I'm not happy, Jan. But that's where we're at. But of course, all activity doesn't have to be physical, does it? Could that inactivity is that what makes me feel comfortable? Thank you very much. Comfortable in the Christian life can be a soul-destroying thing. Last Saturday night, I was thinking about the Sunday morning, and I didn't think I had anything to do here this morning and that morning, and I was sure I was free. I know I didn't have to. There were various things I could have been doing, and I didn't have anything to do. And so I thought, that's a good spot to be in, isn't it? I can come to church and I don't have anything to do. It doesn't matter. But then, I do have to pray for the pastor. I do have to pray for the message. I do have to pray for those that are leading. I do have to pray for those that are sitting there. I do have to pray that the right people come along at the right time to hear the right word. I do have to pray that God will minister to each one of us. Oh, so I did have something to do, didn't I? But you already knew that, didn't you? You wouldn't come to church without having run through some of those things. There are activities you can do irrespective of your physical condition. The mat. Could it be a disobedience to the Lord's call? Could he be calling you to something and it just doesn't seem to fit too well today? Could he be calling you to something new? Even something extra? Or is he calling you to move away from something that's current and move on to something else? Is that a case of disobedience? We're not prepared to join in on the conversation with the Lord. We may see the need, but prefer to hang back and let somebody else do it. No doubt they will. Unfortunately, they don't always. Could it be our attitude to other members of the fellowship, or our family, or our friends, or our associates? Could an attitude be something that is messing with our walk with the Lord Jesus? Whatever it is, the Lord would say to us, pick it up, get rid of it before it does any more damage. The word more, it's already damaging. The first person it damages is ourselves. And if we're holding back from what the Lord would lead us to do, We're damaging other people. We're damaging a ministry. Pick it up. Get rid of it before it does more damage. And of course we do this, don't we? By coming to the Lord and confessing our needs, confessing and asking for forgiveness and cleansing. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we step out and follow his word. You know, the salvation that is for all who come, let's run by that again, the salvation that is for all who will come has been provided at the greatest cost ever. The greatest cost ever. It has cost the Father God the life of its sinless, perfect Son. The humiliation for him to come down and take upon himself the form of a man and then to be crucified. Such a cross, such a cost. When we come to understand a itty bit of God's love, and when we try to marry up our own sinfulness and our own unworthiness, pick up a little bit of what you know of God's love, hook it up with a bit of, with a whole heap of our unworthiness, and then you have, and then you see that salvation is the greatest miracle of all time. Sure, it was nice for this guy to get his legs and bones and ankles and everything working, and that was fine. And we'd say it was a miracle, and it was a miracle. When you've come to Christ and he's saved you and cleansed you and he's picked you up and he's set you going, all of that is contrary to what you would normally want to do. That is the greatest miracle of all miracles. Your salvation, don't you forget it. It is the greatest miracle that will ever come. And you have the treasure of it, you have the pleasure of it, you have the joy of it. Let us not doubt God, let us not doubt his love. In Psalm 119, verse 68, the psalmist says to the Lord, "You are good. And what you do is good." You are good and what you do is good. Well, sometimes I think so. When I was a young Christian, we used to hear something of a fellow called Brother Lawrence. Anybody heard of Brother Lawrence? Hey, are you old people? George, you're not that old. Yeah. Now, Brother Lawrence was a 17th century French monk. Now, I didn't personally know him, but he was quoted when I was a young fella, and he had some words of wisdom. If we knew how much God loves us, we would always be ready to receive equally from his hand the sweet and the bitter. If we really knew how much God really loves us, we would be okay with receiving the sweet and the bitter. In other words, if we could get to a place, and we don't get there very often because we don't spend the time, but he was a guy that had the time to do it. Get to the place where you understand a little bit of how much God loves you, that is okay if he sends the good or the bad my way, because he is my Father and he loves with an everlasting love. That's why it's okay. A God to love. I remember reading somewhere later on where another one of Brother Lawrence's, I came across them both this week, which I hadn't seen for years. He went on to say one day that to count as lost each day you have not used in loving God. To count as lost each day that you haven't used to love God. So each day that you haven't loved the Lord, or each day you haven't sought to serve him, each day that you haven't pondered his love to you and the glory of the miracle that you have with him, each day you don't do that, he says, write that day off, because it's an absolute loss. You've blown that day. You might as well not get up that morning. That's an interesting thought at times, too. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul. When he says to you, pick up your mat and walk, let's remember, according to this morning, pick up your mat, get rid of it, and then walk with the Lord moment by moment. Day by day, experience the miracle over and over. Let us pray. Blessed Father, we continue to stand amazed in your presence and of your love. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the truth that your word is. We pray that you would impress it upon each of our hearts, that we would know that truth and love that truth and have a desire to share that when opportunities come our way. Oh, Father, we all carry mats at times. Well, we pray that you would minister to us. Give us your grace. Give us your strength to stand and to get rid of that which hinders our walking with you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.